14-862, Paul Reisner as co-administrator of the estate of Amber Reisner, a deceased minor et al. Versus the Ohio Department of Transportation et al. For the appellant, Mr. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice, fellow justices. My name is Bill Becker. On behalf of the Ohio Department of Transportation, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. We all share a goal of safer roads in Ohio, but the lower court's opinion does not further that goal. The lower court's opinion stands for the proposition that ODOT has no discretion to make incremental improvements or incremental efforts to try to improve the safety of a roadway. The lower court's decision stands for the proposition that if ODOT does something, then it needs to do everything to improve the safety of a roadway. Such a decision is frankly unprecedented, unworkable, and does not further the goal of trying to make our roads safer. As applied to this particular case, the 10th District decision stands for the proposition that where ODOT has installed an overhead flasher and intersection ahead signs, it then has a corresponding duty to completely redesign and reconstruct the roadway.
What goes into the department's policy to decide a yellow flasher or a red flasher or a traffic control device stopping traffic northbound and southbound and eastbound and westbound?
Yes, Your Honor, that's the problem with the 10th District decision. It ignores the policy that the General Assembly has otherwise vested in ODOT to make those determinations.
You know, how does ODOT determine which of the traffic control devices it will employ at a given intersection?
Through engineering judgment.
And that's
pardon me?
Through what?
Engineering judgment.
Based
on the standards that are in effect at the time, the best knowledge that engineers have about how one can make a particular roadway safer.
And how would it determine which roadways require?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it goes to the heart of this case. The General Assembly has tasked ODOT with the duty to create a balanced statewide transportation policy. So ODOT needs to be looking at all intersections and all roadways across the state of Ohio. And it actually does that through the Highway Safety Program, where it looks at the accidents, both the nature and type of accidents, and ranks its roadways accordingly. And then it proceeds to deal with the particular intersections or roadways according to those
Council,
rankings.
Counsel, if I may ask you a question, I'm not sure you and I agree what this case is about. It seems to me that we have a fatality on a four-lane highway. Prior to the fatality, the Ohio Department of Transportation made a decision to install a flasher. Are we together so far?
Yes, sir.
In order for you to have that under your umbrella of discretion, that would have to be called preserving the status quo, maintaining the roads, as opposed to improving them, would it not?
Well, we are actually urging this court to abandon that distinction, the distinction between
Let's get to that. You want us to abandon that distinction altogether?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Because that distinction is unworkable and not helpful, and frankly, it ignores the discretion that the General Assembly has otherwise vested in ODOT to make these engineering policy choices. It really comes down to then an all or nothing proposition. Under this approach of maintenance versus improvement, and it used to be substantial improvement, but now it seems to be only improvement, that ODOT has no discretion to do anything sort of in the middle, anything incrementally. It's as though, and in fact, the appellees have argued that ODOT will have no liability if it does nothing with regard to a particular intersection.
Council,
and frankly,
having,
no one wants that policy.
Council, having been at the 10th District, I've seen a lot of these cases. This argument sounds very new to me.
I think
sounds very new to me and very different.
I think that's fair, Your Honor, because if you look at the history, and I don't believe you've actually decided one of these cases, but if you look at the history of this maintenance versus improvement distinction, there's no real explanation for where it even originated or where it came from.
Well, let's say that we agree with you and we're going to get rid of that distinction. Are you suggesting then there's no duty of care?
No, absolutely not.
And where does the duty of care fit in? Let's say we're talking about redesign or reconstruction. Do we look to duty of care then?
Absolutely. You look to the duty of care, and ODOT will still remain liable under numerous circumstances, and I can outline those for you. But as relevant and applicable to this case, the policy decision of how we're going to improve the safety of a roadway, and let's make no mistake about it, that's the issue. It's the discretion of ODOT to make a road safer or better. That comes within their policy. In fact, the General Assembly at 5501.31, when it talked about authorizing ODOT to make improvements, it used the word may, not the word shall. Versus when you look at their maintenance duties, and this is where ODOT will remain liable, when you look at the General Assembly's authorization of maintenance at 5535.03, it says ODOT shall maintain its roadway. So it will retain that reasonable care standard because it has a very clear duty.
I thought you said you wanted to get rid of the distinction between maintenance and improvements, and now you're suggesting, if I understand this, under 5501.31, it's a discretionary duty for improvements, but a mandatory duty on maintenance.
No, I only bring that back into the argument, Your Honor, to point out that the General Assembly has said that the duty to improve is a choice or a discretion that ODOT has.
But you're trying to get rid of that.
I'm trying to get rid of the argument on behalf of ODOT is to remove that distinction, that distinction between maintenance and substantial improvement, or now just improvement, ignores the discretion that the General Assembly has otherwise vested in ODOT to make incremental safety improvements.
So are you saying that the maintenance obligation, which uses the word shall in the statute, you want to make that a discretionary?
No, not at all, Chief Justice. That will remain a duty, so says the General Assembly.
They have to maintain the highways. That's what they're in business for.
Correct.
All right, the improvement means the changing of the configuration or some, implementation of safety devices, et cetera. And that is May.
That is May.
And that is triggered by these engineering studies that are in response to a number of accidents that happen at a particular intersection or along a particular highway.
That's one way that ODOT looks at an intersection is looking at the accidents across the state, all 43,000 lane miles that it's responsible for.
Well, right. They take everything into consideration. They look at their budget. They figure out, their maintenance schedule. They figure out then what their improvements and what the budget will be for those improvements. But it is triggered by the number of the accidents, which really correlates to the dangerousness of a particular intersection.
Well, there's a danger inherent in correlating accidents with a dangerous intersection because we know accidents happen for a variety of reasons and not just the roadway. But what ODOT is doing in terms of looking at it, and it looks at the state as a whole, it is actually fulfilling the duty that the General Assembly has said it has, which is to come up with a balanced statewide approach. In other words, the roads in Columbus shouldn't be any safer than the roads in Mansfield.
But, Counsel, you don't disagree with the finding by the court that the installation of a flasher and signs was an improvement to this dangerous intersection, do you?
We can agree on that. I think that
that's
in fact,
healthy.
ODOT...
That's healthy. We're agreeing on that?
Pardon me?
It's an improvement? You agree?
Yes, I think that what ODOT did here is what you would want ODOT to do, and that is they look for ways to improve the safety of this intersection. But when we're really talking in this case about improvements and making roads safer, And that falls first and foremost with the discretion that ODOT has. And this court's recognized that.
What about the guidance, though, for that discretion? Is there guidance built in through the General Assembly's statements within the statutes? Or is it what a reasonable engineer? You mentioned engineering judgment. Is it reasonable engineering judgment that is the standard, or is there something else?
Well, I think that this court has actually provided the guidance, Your Honor, starting with Reynolds and continuing through Garland and then also the Wallace decision. It's all under the umbrella of discretionary immunity. And this court has very clearly said when the state is acting as the state or acting as government and doing planning, in this case transportation planning, and exercising its discretion, in this case engineering judgment, then it has discretionary immunity in terms of that policy making. You have also very clearly said that in terms of implementation of that policy, then ODOT will be held to the reasonable care standards. And again, it'll be the reasonable care and judgment of an engineer, as you've pointed out.
Counsel, isn't what this case is about is the lawsuit was brought and it was kicked out on summary. And the Court of Appeals is essentially saying you've got enough to get by summary here. And the posture of it in terms of talking about improvements is some improvements were made, right, to the intersection?
Yes, sir, the overhead flashing light.
The plaintiff was arguing when you did those improvements, you didn't follow your own manual.
Really think that's the plaintiff's argument. Let's not be misled by that. I think the plaintiff is saying you should have done more to make this intersection safer. And that's where we get into the complete redesign and reconstruction, because they're claiming there's a sight distance issue caused by the bridge for the approach of the truck that was hit by the car in this case.
All right. But your argument is they don't even get to present their case, their argument. You just say this is discretionary, go home. You don't get to show a judge where you think the department was negligent.
You don't get to negligence, because in a case where the argument is ODOT should have done something to make the road safer, it's not a case about improper maintenance, it's that you should have done more, then in that case, yes, it's a matter of, as you said in the first argument, of policy and therefore immunity, discretionary immunity.
Over time, in a different life, I've had occasion to talk to the highway safety engineers for ODOT about particular intersections, and there can be a local clamor to, well, put up a light because there's fatalities here. Stop signs aren't enough. And there are sometimes the response of ODOT is a light just would make that intersection more dangerous, not safer.
Was in this case. Yeah. I mean, ODOT, if you look at the safety studies that went on for 10 years before this accident, ODOT's doing what you would want ODOT to do, and they're looking at this intersection and looking for ways to make it safer. They rejected the stoplight.
My question is, if that there's this technical debate about that, shouldn't the plaintiffs at least have an opportunity to engage, present their own experts, and test the argument of ODOT that whether you call it maintenance or whether you call it improvement, that the proper analysis was made for this particular intersection?
And the answer to that question, Your Honor, with all due respect, is no, because it's a matter of policy that ODOT, and again, it's not just this intersection. I wish ODOT could only be concerned about one intersection, but they can't. They've got to look at it on a statewide basis. That's why, frankly, courts are, with all due respect to our judicial system, are so inadequate to deal with these types of policy issues, because there are all kinds of factors, again, statewide type factors that come into play when you have one lawsuit, you just have two parties involved.
I think we all understand that, but the question is, shouldn't the plaintiffs at least get an opportunity to have their, you know, your client is ODOT, it's a big organization. I think you would agree they're not infallible. The question is, shouldn't they at least get to present their evidence, present their engineers?
You bring up a good point. Does ODOT make mistakes? Of course, like anybody, they make mistakes, but there isn't really any mistake making when it comes to policy decisions. And again, the answer is no. And by the way, the General Assembly can change this. The General Assembly can create a duty that they want ODOT every 5 years or 10 years to upgrade all the roadways in Ohio, all 40,000 lane miles, to current engineering standards. And they better bring a big paycheck
I think you're missing Justice Pfeiffer's question. Where does discretion end and review begin? For example, in your policy, if you just decided all of these pesky stop signs in Ohio are just slowing people down, so as a matter of policy, we've decided to get rid of them.
Well, and the answer to that, again, is going back to Reynolds, going back to Wallace, going back to Garland. This court has set the, if you will, line between policy and implementation. But the policy, I don't think, is that difficult to figure out. It's not that difficult to figure out in this particular case, where ODOT was studying this intersection, made a decision to install the overhead flasher and intersection ahead signs, it then implemented that decision, and there's no argument that they were negligent in the implementation.
But plaintiffs are saying that was the wrong decision, and the trial court said that reasonable minds could only reach that conclusion. That's not true, is it?
Well, the appellee's argument in this case is we should have done more to make this intersection safer. And what I'm saying is that falls squarely within policy, governance, the discretion that the General Assembly has given ODOT. And it does not fall within the courts to second guess that decision making.
Ever?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, ever.
Thank you. Mr. Blue. Also, what about the argument that if you prevail, then every local concern will be weighing in and it will be mandatory on ODOT to provide, you know, the Cadillac version of highway improvement as opposed to, you know, the Volkswagen?
Right. Good morning, Madam Chief Justice O'Connor, Honorable Justices, may it please the Court. In response to that particular argument or position on ODOT's behalf, first I would say that Ohioans deserve that protection.
Deserve what protection?
They deserve the Cadillac of improvements. The reason I say that is a few. First of all, in this particular case, the evidence is that ODOT knew about this specific problem, which is sight distance for a vehicle looking eastbound for westbound traffic. The sight distance problem could have been remedied and solved by simply lowering the speed limit. That's a simple, cost-effective fix.
So let's go back. I find when we get cases here, we frequently overlook, particularly when it goes out on summary, so it goes out on an early stage, we forget to look at the pleadings. What did you plead? What did you ask for? I take it from what you've said so far, you weren't pleading or suggesting that ODOT needed to build an overpass, for example, at this intersection, which would be enormously expensive, and if you did one at every at-grade intersection in the state, wouldn't be
right.
Any money left to operate anything. So
right, right. There were
so what specifically did you ask for?
Thank you, Your Honor. What we asked for was ODOT to be held responsible in the manner in which they addressed the known issue at this intersection.
So what was the speed limit on the through?
It was
highway.
A 55 mile an hour.
There was no reduction in speed?
There was no reduction in speed.
And what was the site deficit, or what was the site limitation?
The site limitations was equal to, and this is based upon my memory pursuant to my expert's calculations, Your Honor, it was about a 20 to 30 foot site distance deficiency. And ODOT knew about this site distance deficiency on two separate occasions because of the highway safety program that had identified this intersection as a problem intersection.
Is that due to the number of accidents that occurred there?
And the severity of the accidents.
So it was multiple accidents that were severe or several accidents that were severe?
Both. There were multiple accidents, and there were multiple severe accidents.
Okay.
And remember, this is a stretch of 55 mile an hour zone. So when, you know, a vehicle collides with a crossing vehicle, it's going to be a big impact, and that's why it was resulting in severe injuries and deaths before Ms. Reisner's death. So what we were asking is, ODOT needs to be held accountable for how they responded when they noticed that this was a problematic intersection.
And were the lights operating at the time of the collision that had been installed? The yellow flashing and the red flash, were they both operating?
They were both operating, Your Honor. This collision took place around midnight. It was dark, but from all evidence, the lights were operating. So
your claim does not involve negligence in connection with the work that the Department of Transportation did at the intersection. Your claim is there were other issues that they could have taken care of, such as reducing the speed, and they didn't do that.
Correct, Your Honor. We are not taking issue with the fact that the lights that they installed were working properly, that they were installed properly. When Amber's car came to the intersection, their car was facing a flashing red light.
And then if I understand Mr. Becker's argument, and I'm not sure I do, but I think what he's arguing to us is that when the department exercises its discretion and develops its policy as to what will be done at an intersection, there isn't liability for that because the improvements are such as within the discretion of the department.
That's the argument that ODOT is making.
And what is your response to where we find the liability for the exercise of discretion by the department?
The 10th District. The 10th District has held since the Court of Claims Act was invoked in 1975 that when ODOT goes about improving an intersection, they must ensure that the intersection complies with their own standards.
And how do we determine if this installation of the lights then is a maintenance item or an improvement item?
Maintenance has also been defined by the 10th District as basically maintaining what is there.
Has that been defined by the General Assembly or only by the 10th District?
Only by the court.
Okay.
Yes.
So we should look to the 10th District to determine whether or not ODOT is liable.
Right. The 10th District has been ruling on this for many, many years. And the 10th District has laid out this choice or this distinction between maintenance and improvement.
So you're not arguing that this is a maintenance issue?
I am not arguing
no.
that this
so
is
this
a
is an improvement. They put up lights and red and yellow flashing lights. Do you think that, and you're arguing that a reduction in the speed needed to be done, because that's what their own standards would have dictated.
Well, that's one of a few things that could have happened.
Okay, but that, are you saying that the reduction in speed coupled with the lights was what was necessary, or are you discounting the lights as having any value?
I'm discounting the lights as having any value, and it goes back to Justice Pfeiffer's question about our allegation, which was ODOT chose to go to this intersection to fix a problem. They did that two separate times. The problem is the fixes that they put forth did absolutely nothing to address the problem that their own engineers identified.
But did it comply with their standards? That's what you're saying they deviated from, is their own standards.
No.
It did not. So there's some place written in their standards, and this was introduced to the 10th District and part of the record in the Court of Claims, saying when you have a sight distance issue and the speed is 55 miles per hour, and your distance of sight is 20 feet, I believe you said, that here's A, B, and C that you need to do in order to remedy that intersection.
What the standards lay out are what the minimum sight distance should be for an intersection. At the time this intersection was improved upon, both in 2000 and 2004, 5 and 9 years before Amber's death, this intersection did not meet ODOT's own standards with regard to minimum sight distance.
But counsel, wouldn't the practical effect of what you're arguing then be that ODOT could never plan for making incremental changes? So what if it had planned, this is what we can do right now. We can put a flashing light. In the future, we're going to plan to do more to make even more improvement. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the practical result of what you're arguing? Is we're not just not going to have any incremental fixes that make roads a little safer, but not the maximum that ODOT could do.
Right, and there are two answers to your question, Your Honor. First of all, I would submit that Ohio motorists deserve the Cadillac of improvements.
But how are they getting the Cadillac if we're going to get a Cadillac way beyond when we might get something a little safer?
Right. And they deserve that Cadillac because improvements to make intersections comply with their own standards can be done cost effectively. Okay. I haven't seen anything in the record as far as any type of cost estimates which would be for ODOT to improve intersections. I haven't seen any.
Well, this particular situation, aren't you arguing that a reduction in speed would have done it?
Sure.
All you wanted to see happen here.
We could have done a speed reduction. We could have simply placed a stop and go traffic signal. We could have done a reroute of the approaching road so it came onto the existing highway further down the road so that.
But counsel, that's going from
a very minimal thing to do, such as the speed reduction, up to excavation and rerouting, and a very, very, very expensive proposition.
Sure.
So it sounds to me, by your own argument, the rerouting and the the flattening of the lines so the sight distance that's the Cadillac. But you're not saying that they should have done that. You're saying that they should have done a minimal improvement, which would have been the speed reduction, which it kind of defies what your position should be. You're just saying everybody needs to have the Cadillac, and the speed reduction would have been merely an incremental improvement.
And to be fair, I'm not saying everybody deserves the Cadillac. That's ODOT's argument, which would be the practical approach to adopting their position. I am saying that these fixes in the intersections can be done not at a Cadillac level, but very modest level and still
Council,
be in compliance with
Council,
the
you
LND.
Got stopped from showing anything by the summary.
I'm sorry?
You got stopped from showing anything by the summary judgment.
Correct. We were able to submit our expert reports, but
you,
yes.
So you were able to get the expert reports in showing what it was that you were arguing should have been done?
Correct.
And the flashing light that was put up, the yellow flashing light on the through highway, what does that require any reduction of speed? What does that mean to a driver on the through highway?
It means
what does the yellow flashing light require of them?
It simply is a warning that there is an intersection ahead.
But no speed reduction is
correct.
Required.
Correct. Correct.
At the Court of Claims level, did you raise the issue of speed? Because I know Judge Clark was talking about the claim that defendant was negligent in design and maintenance of this intersection with respect to lack of sight, as well as the use of an overhead flashing light, rather than the four-way stop and go light. So I didn't see anything about speed in front of the Court of Claims.
Right, and argument developed out of the minimum sight distance requirements in what could have been done. One of our arguments initially was the lack of a traffic signal, you know, a red, yellow, green traffic signal at this particular intersection, and that would have solved this sight distance issue. The Court of Claims held that ODOT has discretion in placement of this red, yellow,
green. Isn't that part of the difficulty? When you talk about discretion, we say you could have done this, it could have been better, this could have been safer, and you have a full panoply of options, and the issue of discretion is the choice that is given to ODOT to determine what will best suit that particular location. And it's not just this location, but statewide that they mm-hmm. have to consider.
Yeah, yeah. And the 10th District has consistently and routinely held that when ODOT improves a road, they need to do so in accordance with their own guidelines that are in existence at the time.
Current design guidelines, you're saying?
Guidelines, correct.
I thought they made the distinction between the maintenance and improvement in dealing with that issue.
They did. The 10th District has held that when ODOT comes in and simply maintains a road, repaves, resurfaces, you know, maintains something that's there, they have no duty to go beyond that and ensure that the intersection complies with their current design standards.
So what specifically, with respect to this intersection and with respect to ODOT's manual, was the deficiency? What would the manual have, had they followed the manual, what action would have been required at this intersection?
They could have put a traffic signal in.
That would have satisfied the manual.
That would have satisfied the manual from a stop or a minimum sight distance requirement.
Would dropping the speed limit?
We've talked about that.
Would that have satisfied the manual if
yes.
they had just dropped the speed limit?
Yes. The reroute would have also satisfied
well,
the manual.
Well, there's a big difference in cost from...
What about the
sure,
flashing
absolutely,
lights?
Absolutely, absolutely.
What about the flashing lights? Was that part of the fix that the manual would have sanctioned?
If you look at it simply from, we're going to put in flashing lights, they did it properly.
They did it properly.
Right. But here's the difference. The difference is, in this particular case, on two occasions, these flashing lights in the warning signs did absolutely nothing to solve the problem that
But Council, isn't that why we're here today?
Yeah.
Isn't that the human error element here, though?
Well, shouldn't they be judged according to the reasonableness of their actions. They have a duty to reasonably maintain the
roads.
But
you're telling me that the lights were a fix according to the manual. That was something that they could, that was in the...
No, that does not fix the minimum sight distance at all.
So that's not a fix that's in their manual at all?
No. I mean, the way that they installed them, their operation, that was all fine. But it did nothing, absolutely nothing, to fix the condition that caused Amber's death.
Thank you.
Counsel, before you leave, I'm over here.
Yes, Judge.
Isn't that really why we're here today? Because the 10th District Court of Appeals overruled the granting of summary judgment?
Correct.
So all of these questions of fact are going back to the Court of Claims you will have your trial, correct?
That's right.
It's not here today. The question today is, was that an improvement?
Correct.
And I believe your opposing counsel has agreed it was an improvement.
In their proposition of law, they admit that it was an improvement.
I do applaud them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice. And perhaps just a point of clarification and comfort. At the time of the original design and construction of this intersection, it met the sight distance standards that ODOT had in place. So the question is, does ODOT have a duty as these standards change, as engineers determine, yes, I think we want more sight distance out there now, does ODOT have a duty to go back and make that improvement, or do they retain the discretion to make incremental safety improvements?
When were the flashing lights installed? When was that?
I have that written down, Your Honor. It was approximately 5 years before the accident.
Okay.
And the other thing that's important
And at that time, you're saying that the intersection with the installation of those lights met the then required sight improvement?
Going back to the original, when this intersection was first constructed.
No, I'm talking about the time of the installation of the flashing lights. Did it meet the standards for sight distance at that point?
Yes. Yes, that's not the test, but it did. And I draw your attention to, if you have a moment, take a look at the traffic engineering studies that are part of the record in this case, where ODOT's looking at this intersection over a 10-year period, and they consistently say it met our sight distance standards.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision. Marshal, will you adjourn court, please?